Welcome to the Lending Lowdown. I'm CJ Doherty, Director of Analysis at LSEG LPC. And today we're going to pivot from some of our recent topics and focus on capital solutions and specifically in the European market. There have been challenges for borrowers in the last few years, including higher inflation, which has resulted in tighter central bank monetary policy and higher borrowing costs. And we've also had geopolitical tensions and supply chain problems. And so to discuss how Capital Solutions fits into the current environment, I'm delighted to be joined by David Brooks and Alice Cavalier, partners and co-heads of Capital Solutions at Arcmont Asset Management. Alice and David, I'm looking forward to our discussion. Thanks for joining me.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you very much, CJ. Nice to join you.
Great. And before we delve into the nuts and bolts of the market, can you share a little bit about yourselves and your firm?
Yeah, with pleasure. So I'm Alice Cavalier, and obviously I'm co-head of the Capital Solution Fund within Arcmont. So Arcmont is a large private debt fund in Europe, which is mainly focusing on private debt for mid-cap companies. And with regard to my background, I've always worked in credit opportunistic funds. You know, obviously before Arcmont, I was working in other competitors, and I started my career at Morgan Stanley Investment Banking.
And I started at Arcmont at the same time as Alice, so in January 2020. My background prior to that was also in opportunistic credit in Europe, so I had spent the previous 12 years at Bain Capital Credit, that whole time focused on European opportunistic investment, and originally I'm a recovering strategy consultant. So I think what very much attracted us to Arcmont, if that's interesting to hear, because I think it's relevant to the Capital Solutions story, is the fact that Arcmont is, as Alice said, one of the largest private debt players in Europe. As part of that, we have extremely long-term, deep relationships with the private equity community, with the advisors around them, where we've actually done over 350 transactions with more than 100 private equity firms. And so those established relationships really give us a very interesting in when it comes to also looking at the more complex credits with those same counterparties. And so looking at this, we thought that that was really a tremendous opportunity for us to be able to leverage all of that history, all of that network, to be able to do those more complex transactions in a separate fund at Arcmont.
Okay, great. Thank you both for that intro. And let's start with a basic question for any of our listeners who might not be familiar with it. What is Capital Solutions? What does it encompass?
Yeah, absolutely. So Capital Solutions, in essence, it's really all about more complicated credit. It's a branch of special situations or credit opportunities investing. There's no precise definition, really. But to us, it means a few things. Firstly, it means private lending. So we're definitely negotiating transactions for the most part directly with borrowers. And it's those more complex ones where traditional lenders are not necessarily equipped for those situations. It could be about the sector, a less loved industrial sector. There can be subordinated debt opportunities where inherently they come with more yield. And there can be situations of company underperformance, but it's different from distressed. So this is not loan to own. This is providing flexible, constructive capital. On the flexibility, we are stepping in and really being thoughtful in each case about what the borrower actually needs. So, for example, does everything have to be paid in cash, or can we find other ways to make some of our return, be that through a PIK component to the interest, for example, or often we structure things with equity upside also. But these are, by their nature, for that flexibility, we're also earning a premium relative to traditional direct lending, and it's typically a few hundred basis points of premium. And as I've said, this is about constructive capital. So we explicitly avoid distressed opportunities, loan to own, or anything that could quickly move in that direction. I think it's worth saying that some other players in the market have adopted this term of capital solutions euphemistically in order to distance themselves from what they might have as a more aggressive distressed investing track record historically. the nice thing about Arcmont is we don't have any of that taint, because shareholder supportive lending is everything we've ever done.
Great. And in what cases is Capital Solutions, you know, better suited than other forms of credit at addressing complex borrowing needs?
Interesting question. So look, on complex borrowing needs, you know, the type of, you know, I guess, option of financing option for a borrower, the following. I think the first one would be potentially direct lending. But direct lending is less suitable because the asset class in general has become increasingly well-defined and risk-averse in terms of the situation and sectors they will back. So, for instance, direct lenders, you know, now are very focused on only certain number of sectors such as software, services, healthcare, and also they're very focused on low leverage and strong equity cushions. So there's a lot of situations that unfortunately are not, you know, within the remit of the direct lending, as you can imagine, because, you know, the European economy is much more than just three sectors, for instance. So these are the first alternative, you know, which obviously is not really addressing complex borrowing needs. Then you have obviously syndicated markets, you know, loans and bonds, you know. But again, you know, syndicated market are more focused on well-performing credits, and therefore, you know, again, you know, cannot really be tapped in certain complex borrowing needs. You know, a good example, for instance, is you know, triple C papers. So companies are a bit more complex, are often, you know, rated as triple C's. And interestingly enough, you know, we haven't really seen much, you know, triple C new issues since the beginning of the Ukraine war. So really that shows you that, you know, the syndicated loans and bonds are not interested in more complex situations. And then, you know, in the less traditional market, you have the special situation and distressed funds. But here, obviously, these they're interested in borrowing needs, but obviously they are seen as, you know, for the distressed funders are more aggressive lenders and therefore are less accepted by the companies and the shareholders for obvious reason, because they don't want to have an aggressive or vulture funds in their syndicates. So really, you know, if we conclude, you know, there's really only the capital solutions that are really ideally suited for this type of complex situation in Europe at this stage.
And how big of a market is capital solutions financing in Europe? You know, is it growing in the current environment?
Yeah, it's definitely growing. I guess we'll come on to that in a minute. And your question on size is a great one. I guess the flippant answer that we tend to get away with is that it's big enough. And what I mean by that is that we manage a little over €1 billion of capital in this strategy today, and we've quite a differentiated position in the market where we feel we don't struggle to either source or win deals. Whereas I think very quickly, by some conservative estimates, you very quickly conclude that this is a market that is worth, you know, dozens of billions of euros in Europe alone. I mean, if you think about Preqin data sizing the distressed and the special sits market, you know, there's something like $100 billion plus of AUM across those two areas. And so we are a subset of that $100 billion industry. And as Alice said, we are, I think, at the moment, that subset that is particularly well suited to the challenges in the market. And those challenges are very much what's driving the strong growth currently. Number one is I would say maturities. So as you think about not just public debt, but if we think about leverage loans, high yield bonds in the public debt space, there truly is a growing maturity wall of debt that needs to be refinanced in the coming years. And actually, from a private debt perspective, even though there's less good data, you can very much understand that if you look back 5, 6, 7 years ago at the amount of unitranches and other forms of private debt that were being concluded in transactions back then, all of these things are now coming back home to roost. And a certain proportion of those are now more difficult refinancing cases that is propelling the capital solutions piece of the market. And then what accentuates that further is the quite challenging economic history that Europe has been through in the last few years. And CJ, I think you very eloquently picked on some of the highlights when you introduced the topic, but it has clearly not been a particularly easy time for companies and their CFOs. And therefore, there are many businesses that even if they're very viable, good quality businesses, they haven't hit the business plan that they would have already had. And as a consequence, leverage is higher, refinancing options are more difficult, and that is growth.
And how has this type of strategy performed in recent times? You know, and will it continue to generate these returns across market cycles?
Yes, look, we think this type of strategy is compelling in all cycles. We think it's an all-weather strategy, so i.e. you can make compelling returns in strong economies and in more volatile environment. And the reason why we think so is because we construct, you know, a strategy that invests in both primary and secondary. So on the primary side, we can, you know, invest in new LBOs where they're looking for either unitranche, you know, on a complex industry, for instance, an unloved industry by the traditional lenders, such as the direct lender or, you know, the banks. And we could also look at new LBOs where we are providing a subordinated investment, like a mezzanine or a PIK, into, again, a highly performing business and even a very strong sector. And obviously, in these cases, you know, these new LBOs and performing businesses, so this would be in a stronger and more booming economy, you would see more of this type of transactions. So that would be in a strong economy, we would see more of that. And then in a more volatile environment, we also invest into what we call, you know, really capital solution transaction, which is really investing in businesses that have balance sheet issue, such as, you know, a covenant breach or also a refinancing coming up, and the traditional lenders are not there for this type of, you know, refinancing. And obviously, we see more of these transactions, you know, where there's a balance sheet issue in weaker and more volatile environments. So obviously, in a recession or in the current environment where we have lots of volatility and businesses are under pressure for all the reasons you highlighted in your introduction, CJ. And then the last leg of our strategy is really the secondary investment, which is investing in loans and bonds when there's a market dislocation or where there's a credit dislocation. And again, this secondary section is also, emphasized in a more volatile environment. So when we see, you know, for instance, post-Ukraine war, or, you know, when we had all this news about the banks, you know, scandals, you know, and we were seeing much more volatility in the market, and therefore we were able to invest much more in the secondary opportunities. But as I said, you know, it's pretty balanced in our strategy because we have both, you know, this primary lending where we are definitely doing more of that in a stronger economy, but we can balance that with the secondary and with the capital solution where we help businesses that have balance sheet issue, which is, you know, obviously busier in more volatile times. So that's why we feel that it's by design a structured strategy where we can be obviously investing in high returns opportunities in all cycles.
Okay, great. And let's talk about sectors now. What sectors are you expecting to have the greatest need for sponsor-friendly capital in the new year? Or sorry, in the next year, I should say.
In the next year. Well, I think firstly, it's not actually just about sectors and companies that need the money. It's also about transactions where there are highly performing businesses, but nonetheless, your more traditional lender base, be that banks or direct lending funds, just aren't showing appetite for that sector. So, you know, we, among other things, we have examples from recent transactions that we've done in the automotive industry, or in the aerospace industry, where these are highly performing businesses. There's truly nothing wrong with the business, but just because of sector reasons, people are not on the traditional side interested in pursuing those transactions. So, you know, it doesn't just have to be challenging industries. With that said, clearly there are quite a number of industries that have had some challenges to work through in recent times. So I guess less as a comment on industries that we may love at Arcmont, more about the sectors that need it. There's quite a range, I guess. Anything that's cyclically exposed or has energy or commodity price risk will have had some effects. So whether that's on one side industrial companies or chemical or in some cases packaging businesses, there's the real estate market that has been dependent on rates and relatedly building materials, construction products, consumer and retail, some travel. That's definitely an area where we have seen opportunities. And interestingly enough, some affected businesses there are dealing with post-COVID dislocation still. I think one interesting example is the cycling market, which actually had a great COVID for various reasons. And then people saw that as a sustainable trend. And in some cases, volumes have not been as sustainable as people thought, even if they have still performed well relative to pre-COVID. The food industry, that's something that again has been touched by commodity prices and inflation. And then lastly, parts of the healthcare market. So for example, where you're using labor, for example, in care, or where you might have been affected by long-term consequences of COVID again, we've definitely seen examples and opportunities. And then, of course, outside of the macroeconomic cycle, there's always sectors and companies where idiosyncratic challenges will arise. I think one example at the moment is fiber alternative networks. So people laying fiber to the home. That is a business model that is currently undergoing really some delays rather than, I think, a fundamental existential question. But there's definitely opportunities across Europe from those types of businesses.
And last question now, can you provide your broader market outlook on credit? How do you see things playing out in the remainder of 2024 and beyond?
Yeah, sure. I think there's a few interesting facts, and I think we can give you our crystal ball, I guess, answer on the outlook. But I think on the loan market, we've seen obviously strong, the yield have increased significantly on the loan and bond market, but mostly on the loan side. So loans have been up, about 250% year to date, and accounting for about 60% of the market as of last week. And bond issuance have increased as well significantly, but obviously not as much. I think they've been up 55%. Definitely, people are obviously more bullish on M&A volumes related to obviously inflation moderating and rates being obviously reducing. So I think there's definitely optimism about M&A for sure. And actually, we've seen it ourselves. There's much more M&A, especially on the corporate side. And we see actually quite an interesting trend on carve-out, obviously separate division that are being sold of large corporate businesses. That is quite increasing significantly, at least according to us. Though, this booming, loans and bonds feels doesn't feel that it's going to stay to us, I think for a few reasons. I think first of all, if there was much more volume, I think we would expect, a bit of a change in the documentation and having less maybe borrower friendly, documentation if there was some pickup of volume. But also in general, I think we are seeing some, deterioration, or we would expect some deterioration on the CLO market. And I think a very topical name is Altice, that is in the news currently. And Altice obviously is a very large issuer in Europe and has about 24 billion of debt. And obviously the risk of being downgraded is high from what we can hear from public sources to CCC. And CLOs in Europe are heavily exposed to Altice. We understand that 85% of the European CLO have exposure of at least 1%. And according to Barclays, 20 CLOs could exceed their 7.5% CCC bucket, which obviously could be a significant issue for them. So, look, I think all of that to say that some like one deal, you know, specifically Altis could create some significant noise and some volatility on the secondary market, which obviously has been technically very strong in the last few months. I think private credit, our view is that this market share will continue to increase. I think definitely sponsors and management have seen the benefits of, you know, a certainty, speed of execution, simplicity, committed capital for, you know, of direct lending versus the liquid market for sure, and therefore will continue to use it even if, you know, the broader syndicated market is obviously continuing, if I is quite supportive. I think in general the capital solution, as we highlighted at the beginning, we feel is going to continue to grow because, as we said, you know, traditional lenders are definitely not interested in the complex situations, and complex situation is obviously growing in the current economy. So we think, you know, our strategy, the capital solution strategy, and will definitely grow in the next few years and offer as well, you know, attractive feature to borrowers. Because of our friendliness and our, execution, capacity of execution, etc.
Okay, great. And so much for us to keep an eye on over the next 12 months and beyond. David and Alice, that's all we have time for today. Thank you very much for your informative and interesting overview of Capital Solutions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, CJ. Great to speak.
And thank you all for tuning in. I invite you to check out our loan market news and analysis at loanconnector.com. Follow us on X at LPC Loans. I'm CJ Doherty. Subscribe to The Lending Lowdown on your favorite podcast platforms.
When you contribute your fixed income deals to LSEG, they'll reach over 500,000 buy and sell side professionals around the world and be included in our industry-leading league table rankings. To ensure we're capturing your entire deal flow, visit contribute.lseg.com/FI signup or contact our team at contribute@lseg.com. Make your deal count.